This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
What was Apple like with Steve Jobs, and what will it be like without him?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Apple's future looks a little different this morning following last night's surprise announcement that CEO Steve Jobs is stepping down for good. He's been on a leave of absence for health reasons since January. The man who will replace him is a guy named Tim Cook, as Marketplace's Silicon Valley correspondent Steve Henn reports.
Tim Cook revamped Apple's supply chain, ran the Macintosh division, and has the reputation of being an operational genius, where Jobs was the technology oracle. Michael Gartenberg follows Apple at Gartner and says Cook's been tested.
He's their operations person, but more importantly, he's acted as CEO twice before. And both of those times, Apple continued to perform well, introduced new products, and the value of the company increased under his watch.
Molly Wood is executive editor at CNET. She says while Cook made the trains run at Apple, he doesn't have the reputation of being a tech visionary.
It will be interesting down the road to see if Tim Cook does have his own vision, and if so, what it looks like, because it is hard to imagine that he could be the next Steve Jobs.
In his resignation letter to the board, Jobs strongly recommended that Cook take the reins and added he thought Apple's most innovative days were ahead of it. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
So what was it like on the inside of Apple under the leadership of Steve Jobs? For that part of the story, we turn to Reed Martin. He was a product designer at the company from 2003 to 2008, and he's with us now from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Good morning.
Good morning.
You've interacted personally with Steve Jobs a number of times over the years. Give us a sense of what he's like in person.
You know, in person, I think I was always struck by the sort of presence that he commanded in a room. He had an ability to sort of glance around a room and immediately know everybody's reactions to what he was saying. If you had a great reason why you disagreed with him, he would put his trust into you to know something more about that than he might know in general. If you didn't know what you were talking about, then you are going to be quickly trampled over.
Do you remember a specific instance of that?
My first experience with him, actually, I was sitting on a couch right next to him about to show him a demo, and my heart was racing. You know, he was sort of a rock star to me. He grabbed the demo from me, and he says, "I love this," and then proceeds to sort of rip it apart. And there were a couple times where, you know, he said something that I definitely thought was incorrect. I didn't, you know, have the courage to speak up, but he noticed that I wasn't reacting positively, so he turned to me. And he conceded and said, "You clearly know more about this than I do. Let's go with that."
Let me just finally ask you, what was your thought when you heard the news that he is stepping down as CEO?
Oh, you know, my heart sank. I've known this is going to happen for a while. I think, you know, all of us have. But I think he'll continue to sort of lead on in inspiration and vision no matter what he ends up doing.
Reed Martin was a designer for Apple from 2003 to 2008. Reed, thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot.
And we've got an illustrated history of Apple, its products, and its stock price at marketplace.org. And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher in overseas trading this morning, about 1.5% higher in Tokyo. Gold has dropped, though. It is trading at $1,707 an ounce. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 143 points to close at 11,320.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. By LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. and by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com.
Tomorrow, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke will speak at a conference in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And a lot of economists think he might just announce some new Fed policy to boost lending and spending. If it's anything like the bond buying program called quantitative easing, it means Bernanke is more worried about deflation than inflation. Let's bring in Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell to explain. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, first, Chris, remind us what deflation is and why we're so concerned about it.
Inflation. That's what we're used to. Inflation is a rise in the overall price level. Deflation is a decline in the overall price level. The real episode of deflation in our economy was the Great Depression.
Not really something we want to be comparing ourselves to right now.
No.
Are we really at risk of deflation again in 2011?
You know, if you look at the consumer price index, it's rising at a 3.6% annual rate. What's the problem, right? Prices are going up, but our economy is slowing down. And if you look at the forward market-based indicators about inflation, they're telling us that the inflation rate is going to come down. So I think part of the debate that's going on here, Jeremy, is there's sort of the apocalypse soon crowd that keeps saying inflation, inflation, inflation. What inflation? And then there's another crowd, and I think this is the Bernanke Fed, or at least Dr. Bernanke, is concerned that the U.S. economy will be entering into a period of a deflationary sludge, two decades of slow growth, not a lot of job creation, and an ineffective monetary policy in dealing with deflation.
And is monetary policy what you use to deal with deflation, or is it something that requires some help from the fiscal side as well, from Congress?
Ben Bernanke used to be called Helicopter Ben because he was asked this question famously. And he said, look, if we have worry about deflation, we'll take helicopters and we'll just spread money all over the economy and that ends it. Now, that's in a normal environment. Well, that's not what's happening right now. Monetary policy right now is the only lever that we have. It can help. But boy, the best thing that could happen is to get the economy growing. And under those circumstances, guess what, Jeremy? We start worrying about inflation.
Simpler concerns. Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
And finally, the Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C. has found an earthquake victim from Tuesday's 5.8 shaker. It was a piece of glass originally recovered from the control tower at the Seattle-Tacoma Airport after a 6.8 magnitude quake struck there back in 2001. And most of the control tower's glass shattered during that quake, but not this little piece, which has been on display ever since at the Air and Space Museum, at least until Tuesday when it finally broke during the 5.8 East Coast quake. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
There's pressure in higher ed to save money and make classes more efficient. One thought, make teachers more productive. But how?
I have no idea. I think I'm pretty productive. But I'm not sure that I would come out well on a quantifiable scale.
I'm Bob Moon, running college like a business. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.